We are strangers in this land, and our home lies far away. When we get there, they'll take our hand, say, "Welcome home, child, you're here to stay."
My daddy, and his show is called Peripatetic, which is a fancy word for travels around a lot. He's a truck driver, and he talks about apologetics while driving in his big old truck.
Greetings, programs. It is April 1st, the dreaded April Fool's Day. I am in, I guess it's central Missouri. I'm about halfway in between St. Louis and Kansas City, headed west on 70, about an hour from my parking spot for the evening. I just wanted to say a few quick things about logic. Confessing Baptist linked a disappointing article by Gary Crampton. I guess because he's Reformed Baptist now, honestly, I'm not all that up on Gary Crampton, other than the fact that he's a Clarkian and writes for the Trinity Foundation on occasion. The Trinity Foundation, of course, is the group more or less responsible for keeping the tradition of Gordon H. Clark alive. I don't really want to get the whole Clarkian-Vantillian disputes raging. More of my issue was with the way that Vantill was represented by Dr. Crampton. If anyone has ever read the articles by Muther, as well as his book, of course, you'll know that there's a specific section. I think in his history piece that he does for the OPC, where he's talking about the controversialism of Vantill. Vantill was a bit of a scrapper when it comes to ecclesiastical topics. The reason for that is because he found a theological issue involved in the espousal of the ideas found therein, in the controversies that he was involved in. For instance, on the common grace with Hoeksema, he was involved with Buswell and a couple others, and of course the complaint against Gordon Clark. Clark was acquitted on the complaint, but the way that he was acquitted, essentially, he ended up leaving the OPC shortly thereafter. There's not a big, huge reason to get into all the details with that. It's really irrelevant, save for the subject matter. The issue brought up on the Confessing Baptist, because Crampton brought it up, was the nature of logic. Crampton's assertion is that Vantill, along with various others, are guilty of some kind of deprecation or depreciation of logic. Those of you who have listened to this podcast for any length of time, and who have read on the blog, etc., will know that the issue with how we deal with logic. And let me just do a short synopsis here, just for those who haven't heard that or read that, and maybe just a reminder for anyone else. Logic, as such, the logic that we use that has certain laws, identity, non-contradiction, etc., is an artifact of creation. I'm saying this in parallel to the way that James White speaks of canon in terms of Scripture. The canon is what it is in virtue of its being revealed by God. The fact that God has revealed it by virtue of that revelation creates a list, an artifact of that content being revealed. I have a canon of my own work. By virtue of me engaging in that work, my writing, my podcasts, anything that I've contributed to, that is the canon of my particular, that which I'm engaged in. All right? God, by virtue of revealing, generates a canon of that revelation. So in that sense, the canon of Scripture is an artifact of God revealing Scripture. Similarly, by virtue of creating thinking beings, the logical laws are an artifact of that creation of thinking beings. Did Bantil express it that way? No. But I'm self-consciously trying to somewhat expand, if in my own small way, what Bantil was talking about when he was talking about the nature of logic as created. Logic is not a separate creation that exists independently of the minds of those thinking beings whose thinking is governed by it. It is an artifact of that creation of thinking beings. But let's think back to another part of the Vantillian distinctives, the creature-creator distinction. This is also known by the doctrines of transcendence and incomprehensibility. Those are two different things that are going to be involved here. It also involves the doctrine of simplicity and aseity. God as transcendent is not in any way identical to his creatures. God is infinite, we are not. God is eternal, we are not. God is ase, he is of himself and only of himself, we are not. We are atheos, of God. In him we live, move, and have our being. Correct? Of course. When the confession talks about, one, God being without parts, that means that God's essence, any of his essence, is identical to himself. God is that which he is. I am that I am. Correct? The literal meaning of Yahweh. I am of myself. I am that I am. I am because I am. I am that I am. It's a very very interesting name that he gives us, that he reveals himself to us as. The assertion of Dr. Crampton is that there is some issue with saying that the thought of God is not only quantitatively different in its extent and its amount, but qualitatively different. In other words, God as ase, God as creator, knows everything immediately, exhaustively, and infinitely. The nature of God's knowledge is immediate. God knows everything without mediation in between him and the object which he knows. The object exists because he has determined that it shall. The object is the way that it is because he has determined that it shall. God does not know discursively. God knows immediately. God knows everything about everything. God knows it down to the submolecular level, down past the submolecular level, everything about it. He knows why it exists. He knows every path that existence will take. The issue with saying that God's knowledge and our knowledge is identical is manifold. If at any point our knowledge is identical to God's, that violates God's transcendence, his light unapproachable. It violates God's simplicity. Our knowledge, in the nature of the case, is successive. It is temporal. It has a movement to it. It has a change to it. We can't know everything at once because we're not made that way. We are not that type of creature. We make systems of things because we can't know it immediately. We are doing our best in our creaturely way to know things to think God's thoughts after him, as Vansel puts it. But we cannot think God's thoughts as him or with him or along with him, however you want to put it. God's thoughts and ours are not the same. They are on an entirely different level. His thoughts are high above us, correct? His ways are high above us. They're not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're as high above us as the heavens and the earth. If God is simple, if God is that which he thinks, God thinks not only infinitely, but all-powerfully. He thinks eternally. There is no succession to God's thoughts. To say thoughts, even, is to say something that is contrary to his nature, if not very carefully qualified. The thought of God is eternal, immutable, and simple. God knows everything immediately, eternally, and without change. God doesn't start to know anything. God doesn't stop knowing anything. God knows everything exactly, no matter when it happens, because that's irrelevant. That's something that belongs to the creaturely realm. It doesn't belong to the realm of God. God does not change, therefore he does not stop thinking one thing, begin thinking another thing. God doesn't have this progression in his thought. He starts here, ends up here. God knows everything immediately. Because otherwise, you violate his immutability. If God doesn't know everything if God doesn't know everything in a complete immediacy, then what does that do to the simplicity of God? God is omniscient. Nobody disputes that. But the simplicity of God demands that God knows everything immediately. There are no parts to God's knowledge. There's not this subject of knowledge over here, this subject of knowledge over here. God knows everything, not systematically per se. Hold on, I got a fire on another truck down there. Holy moly, folks. That was... wow. I can't even tell you what that was, actually. I just stopped for a truck that was completely and totally on fire. Wow. So, everybody was okay, but the truck is completely and totally toast. It's just a big hunk of burnt stuff. It's done. Whatever else might be at issue, nobody died, so it's good. But, oh my goodness, that was crazy. Like, tires exploding, and gas tanks exploding, and various other symptoms of mayhem. That was pretty wild. So yes, this can forever be known as the peripatetic that was interrupted by a ginormous truck fire. I just pulled off the side of the road, yanked my brakes, grabbed my fire extinguisher, and started sprinting toward the truck. I was really scared that there was somebody trapped inside because the fire was, it was licking up inside the windshield. I could see it. That was how I saw it to begin with. The fire was coming up from the dashboard and licking up on the inside of the windshield. It was a pretty small fire when I stopped. But by the time I got to the truck, the whole cab was engulfed, and he was around the backside of the trailer, so I didn't see him. So, but he saw me running up like I was about to, I was trying to decide whether I was going to use that fire extinguisher to break open his window. And he came around the corner waving at me, so I didn't. But I didn't, because that might have been interesting. Oh my goodness, that was wild. So now I know what happens when a truck lights on fire. But both the front tires exploded while I was standing there watching. Once I was making sure he was all right, gave him my phone number in case he needed me to, because I was the first one who stopped. But there was already police and fire on the way. And I'm running low on hours, so I probably would have stayed longer. Wow. I've like completely lost my train of thought now. Whew. Oh, all right, so, society, simplicity, God's essence, if we were to take that particular point of view, some part of his essence would be identical to ours. The violation of transcendence. We would be thinking with God's being, essentially, if the laws of logic are identical to God. So it's... I don't see how it's not logically incoherent. It's... there's all kind of things wrong with that. I don't really know what else to say as far as that goes. The actual position that we're asserting is that while God has ordained the laws of logic to be used by mankind, and as such they're absolute insofar as we go, they are not identical to God. They are analogical to God. They are like God insofar as the creaturely realm can be. It is part of the imago Dei for us to think like God, an analogy to God, in a creaturely analogy to God. But we don't think as God, identically to God. The difference is not only quantitative, but qualitative. The quality of God's thinking, the immediacy, the totality. God knows everything at once, eternally, in his eternal now, so to speak. And he does not think successively. God's thought is one, as he is one. It is not composed of parts. It is not changeable. It is immutable, because it is identical to him. Our thinking, on the other hand, is governed by laws. Induction is not something God does. The entire point of either inference or deduction is to progress successively. There is no progression with God. There is no change with God. There is no movement from one to another with God. God is of himself eternally and immutable. God's thinking is of himself eternal and immutable. All of these characteristics of God are things we can never share. We have the created analogs to them. The nature of God's thinking is such that we can never share it. We can imitate God insofar as we are able, insofar as we are created to do so. But we do not think identically to God. We cannot. We cannot bring man up to the level of God, nor can we bring God down to the level of man. His ways are past finding out. But what he has revealed belongs to us and to our children. In God's creation is his self-revelation. In the natural world is his self-revelation. Insofar as that goes, it reveals the character and nature of God. But it is not identical to the character and nature of God. That is pantheism, correct? God and his creation are never identical in any respect. The reflection of God is seen everywhere, in every single thing that God has created. But God himself is not seen as himself, a se, in any of his creation. What we're trying to do is to be careful and to be specific. Van Til, in many ways, was not specific. He was developing in broad brushstrokes certain things. And I'm trying to flesh those out some. But I'm going from theology proper and showing that from the nature of God, that God and his creatures cannot have a point of contact in identicality. How we as children of God cannot have a point of contact in identicality with children of wrath, because when we're speaking of the nature of man in Adam and the nature of man in Christ, there is an essential difference, and that is the new birth. The point of contact is the image of God, yes, but it's in showing where the image of God is flawed, marred, cracked, but still recognizable. The nature of God as logical, as the original from which the laws of logic are analog, is evident in the fact that men want to think men know they should think logically. It does not follow, however, that because men think logically, that God is logical in the same way, because God is not the same as man. God is not a man that he might lie. God is not a man that he might change. God makes those differentiations clear throughout his revelation. So while, yes, part of the image of God is thinking rationally, God as rational is different than we are as rational. God is the creator. God is transcendent. God is infinite. God is immutable. God is ase. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is sovereign. We are not. It does no good to emphasize these similarities to the point at which they become identicalities. The point of Van Til's use of analogy is to show, one, where the image is and where the image is not. To show man his culpability before God, but also to show his inability. It does no good to insist on culpability without likewise insisting on the inability. For instance, if we insist on the mere fact that man is depraved, but we insist in the same breath that man is still able to do good, to love God, to believe in God, to follow God, to obey God, what have we won? It owes back to a faulty view of the faculties of man. We can insist all that we want that man is totally depraved, but as soon as we insist that man and his reasoning is identical in any sense to God's, we have a problem. And if we don't insist that man's inability, his total inability, is wrapped up in his depravity, we then end up imbalanced like the Romanist or the general evangelical who says that man can reason his way to God. On the other hand, we have an insistence that the unregenerate man, because we have to insist in order to take the statement of the Westminster a certain way, in that man's reason is identical, his knowledge is identical with God, in some sense, we have to divorce the knowledge of the unregenerate and the regenerate so far from each other that we end up with a unregenerate man who can know nothing. Because we want to insist on the Calvinist distinctives on the one hand, but insist on a very un-Calvinistic idea of the nature of knowledge on the other. And when I say Calvinistic, I'm not just talking about the 5 points, though I have emphasized the total depravity aspect. But in theology proper, we cannot know God exactly as he is. All we can know is that which he lisps to us. That's all we're capable of knowing, because we are creatures. Is that sufficient? Yes. Because, one, God says it is, and two, God created us with that in view. Our incapability to understand God totally, even were we the perfect man such as Adam, is no bar to us knowing him sufficiently, as he deems sufficient. That doesn't mean that we must make some sort of necessary identification of the knowledge of God and man in order to have a sufficient point of contact. The point of contact sufficient is what God says is sufficient. It is that nowhere man looks can he escape the presence and the knowledge of God. Even in his analogous logic, even in his created logic, he cannot escape knowing God sufficiently to condemn him. The heavens declare the glory of God, not identical to God's glorification of himself, but commensurate with their nature. Our very being declares the glory of God, commensurate with our own nature. And that nature is not to be identical with God in knowledge, even qualitatively. I hope that brings a few things out. I may follow this up with another podcast on the confessional reputation of that, but I might commit that to an article, but it's probably going to take some more references than what I can do off the top of my head, and especially when I was interrupted in the middle by a giant fire. and et cetera. So that was an exciting podcast, and hopefully that was interesting and helpful, and hopefully I don't see any giant truck fires in the near future. This has been Peripatetic with Joshua, and thanks for listening. Bye.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Choosinghats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of covenantal apologetics in defense of the Christian faith to the glory of God. Thanks for listening, and catch us next time for another edition of Peripatetic.